Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Liam, thank you for putting together the session. We have a project I want to tell you about, which I think is pretty exciting, and it's illustrative, I think, of a really well-integrated effort between community representatives, advocates, and science. And there's some novel aspects to it, which I think might be interesting to you. So this presentation is based on work from the Breast Cancer and Environment Research Center, which is a network of centers with the organizations, institutions that you see here. I'll mention them again later. And like the previous presentation, no one's making any money off of this presentation that I'm giving you here. What I'll do is, in just a small number of slides, and I hope to save some time for questions, give you a little background on the Breast Cancer Environment Research Centers, including the involvement of the community and advocates. The structure of the science, which is, we think, very transdisciplinary, and I think that comes into the discussion here. The nature of community participation in our case, and then what we're doing to disseminate research findings with this mechanism, and in particular, a partner project, which is funded by the NIAHS partner program. So, basically, this story starts with a public need strongly felt in our case, in the San Francisco Bay Area, but in locales throughout the country. And these are the very high breast cancer rates, or the higher than expected breast cancer rates that are found in the local area. So for a long time, it's been recognized that breast cancer in the San Francisco Bay Area is higher than most of the rest of the country. And that has generated a lot of public concern. Questions about why. So why, with all the academic centers and people working on breast cancer research in our area, do we still have these high levels compared to state averages and national averages? So that's the thing that drove it. It came, actually, the idea for the research I'm going to discuss with you, from the community and from advocates. Researchers like myself had been working on breast cancer epidemiology and treatment projects for a long time, some of them in terms of breast cancer screening in the community, where I was first introduced to the principles of CBPR. But this wasn't satisfactory. I mean, there were explanations from an epidemiologic standpoint that would satisfy most epidemiologists about the level of explanation of breast cancer rates based on reproductive history and so forth. But there was still this suspicion there was something in the environment, something in the place that we live, or women live there, that needed further investigation. And that's what drove the community and advocates to want to do something about it. So they, through a number of different activities, got to some decision makers locally, got to legislators, got to decision makers at the senior levels of the NIH, and they had a sort of a sit down. And this was a number of conferences, one of them, importantly, in Charlotte, North Carolina, in about 2002, I think, where advocates, community members, researchers, government representatives all got together, and they said, okay, what are we going to do about this? And out of that arose a RFA to develop these centers. And the RFA very wisely required that there be epidemiologic study, some basic science studies, and involvement of community members in what we've called a community outreach and translational core. So right from the beginning, it was part of it. And this woman sitting here, Gwen Coleman, who you'll hear from later, had a lot to do with this. So the way we did it was is part of my presentation and what I want to explain to you. The results of the RFA were that four centers were funded. I'm the PI of the one at UCSF, but there's also one at Cincinnati, one at Fox Chase Cancer Center, and one at Michigan State University. Each one of these is very complex in and by itself. And they involve collaborations with other institutions nearby and in some cases at some distance. So for instance, the Fox Chase Center in Philadelphia here has collaborations with Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York City, with Mary Wolf and her group there looking at the epidemiology of this question in Harlem. And also basic science collaborators from the University of Alabama. Our center at UCSF involved collaborators at Kaiser Permanente with my colleague Larry Cushy, who's an epidemiologist there, as well as basic science researchers led by Zena Werb at the UC Medical Center. And then you can see Cincinnati and Michigan State. Each one of these centers drew on community participation from their local area. So a couple of things about these centers. This wasn't an intervention study, as is frequently seen for community participation, where you're doing something to the community. You're asking them to change something. You're trying to change a behavior. Instead, here we were trying to understand a basic idea, and that was, what was it about early development when girls are going through puberty that might be a window for environmental influences on breast cancer? In other words, most of the studies done on breast cancer etiology and the environment are done asking questions and studying adult women. And here we're asking questions about what happens during the time when the breast is developing in puberty. And is this a time, because of rapid cell division and a replication of DNA, when the environment can have more of an effect than at other times in life, so-called windows of susceptibility. So this was a new idea that required discovery research. We had to understand what was going on. And the way we did it was in the two research projects. The epidemiology project allowed us to recruit a cohort of 6 and 7 year old girls who we have been following through their maturation process. And we're collecting information through questionnaires to their parents. We're collecting blood and urine to get DNA and biomarkers. And we're collecting physical examination data to understand how fast they're maturing. It's a very diverse group. We have representation from the major race ethnic groups around the country, and also a lot of socioeconomic diversity. And then the basic science project is really trying to understand, there's a lot to say about the science here, but the main message I want to give you is they're really trying to understand what are the determinants of maturation of breast tissue, and what are the processes that act over the lifespan that lead to breast cancer in animal models. Well, that's not something community folks usually get into. So we had a very complex, integrated project with very sophisticated experimental methods using microdissection, mouse models, and other aspects which are really quite cutting edge, and a very large and complicated epidemiologic project in which we were collecting a lot of information. And, you know, why study girls? Why study mice? People might ask in the community. So the community became very, our partners in this became very important right from the beginning. So they, as I already said, initiated the research, and it was really, as the previous presenters explained, a bi-directional process where we received a lot of input from the community through our COTC representatives, and we fed it back through town halls and other sorts of publications and meetings, so that they would understand what we were trying to accomplish. And COTC members sit in on both the basic science and the community or epidemiologic studies on a regular basis. So we're sitting there with these folks who we've been working with now for about 6 years, and the relationship has become quite close. Actually, it existed for some time before that, to be accurate, because the sort of relationship we had with a lot of the folks in the community were built up over many years. But this was much more intense, much more integrated, and it's been very effective. So not only at the beginning were people from the community able to tell us what they were concerned about in terms of the environmental causes of breast cancer, and then we had a conversation about how to incorporate that into the research we were doing. And then in turn, now we've been challenged with how to get that information back to people in a way that they understand it and it's useful. So the process has been both one of communication, where there's where we're trying the best we can to follow the principles that have been laid out and in the previous presentation. And then now we're trying to figure out ways to disseminate this information. I want to talk to you about the nature of the science in terms of this word transdisciplinary, which means not just that you have a bunch of people from different disciplines working together, but you're trying to create something new that wouldn't have occurred if the groups were not trying to work on a common problem across different centers. This is how we started out. Each one of the centers, except the Michigan State Center, had had all three parts of this project. The Michigan State Center didn't have an epidemiology project. And what we've wound up with is something that's integrated not only across the different centers for each of the projects, that is, all the basic scientists are working together, all the COTCs are working together, and all the epidemiology groups are working together, but there's an integration between the centers. So we pay a lot of attention to what the basic scientists are telling us in terms of, you know, what genes they've discovered, what biomarkers seem to influence breast development, and they in turn are paying attention to what we're finding is related to early pubertal development, and seeing if they can test it in their mouse models. And then the COTC has the job of trying to explain all that to the various audiences and stakeholders that we have. The model that we have, how am I doing?
About 5 minutes.
The model that we have in this project is one where we're talking about different stages of the lifespan from the prenatal time up through postmenopausal period in the mouse models, but we're focusing on puberty in the girls, and then it's a parallel process of the development of cancer that we're aware of. At each stage here, we're looking at multiple levels of involvement from genes through society as having an impact on the questions that we've raised. Basically, we're trying to understand how both social forces, social determinants, and biology act together. So why is it that that girls from different parts of the country, from different race ethnic groups, from different socioeconomic groups, have different experiences going through puberty? Why do some go through puberty so much earlier than others? So we're trying to understand what the process is for getting social determinants under the skin and affecting biology. So the process of dissemination, just in the last couple slides here, is defined in these ways. These are NIH NCI definitions that have been drawn from literature that most people are familiar with here, perhaps. Dissemination research is basically dissemination research, not dissemination itself, is basically understanding how to take a finding that seems to be true in one place and understanding how it can be applied in another place. So context is very important, again, as the last presentation highlighted. So this is the task of dissemination research is to really understand how to make something that's applicable in one area workable in another. And then implementation research is the task of understanding how to go to scale or how to include the research at a systems level. So the dissemination activities of our group have been these community meetings. We've had a lot of them. We've had a lot of opportunities for this bi-directional exchange. They have, in fact, put their shoulders to the wheel and produced fact sheets about environmental factors which are of interest to the community in a very a readable fashion. They have developed novel communication strategies, including a video which we've called Of Mice and Women, which tries to explain to the community the reason why studying mouse models in this case are important for understanding environmental effects in breast cancer. And then, of course, they've been helpful in terms of both recruitment and retention and evaluation. So this flyer that Liam was showing us here has a little paragraph at the bottom of the back page on this project, and there's a reference to one of the publications that we've had where we've tried to follow Meredith Minkler and Larry Green's direction on how to evaluate CBPR in our project to see how we've done. And I'll just say that there's two things that I learned from that evaluation. One is that the expectations of the community and the scientists were not really, they were difficult to sort of blend together in the sense that the community members that were working with us thought that science proceeded a lot more rapidly. And just the idea that it's a slow process, an iterative process, one where there's lots of failures and back and forth, was novel to the community. And the thing that I learned on the other side was that when you're talking about power and you're talking about budget, most researchers work from project to project with a little overlap. So you finish a project and you still have time to write your paper after the project's over. Community folks don't work that way. They have a budget and they have to be able to support their staff, and when the project's over, it's over. So you don't have them to carry with you into the next phase unless there's some attention to that that transition up front. The Partnership for Environmental Public Health project that I want to wrap up with is, as I say, something we're calling PARDNER, for Partnerships for the Dissemination of New Results from the BCERP, or CRC. And basically what we've done is take a little extra effort to develop a monograph, one copy here, which I'll be glad to show anybody that's interested, which is basically our findings from the discovery research in lay language. So a lay reader could pick this up and say, okay, what this is all about. Second thing we're doing is in thinking about sustainability and how to keep this information going, is we're sharing this information with pediatricians in the Bay Area. So these are the same pediatricians who are taking care of the girls who we've recruited. And we want them to know what we've learned, both in terms of the biology of puberty, about the impact of the environment, and what kind of questions they might get from parents when this gets publicized. So we figure if we can teach them about it through a video conference, which we're going to be holding, which will reach thousands of pediatricians in Northern California. This is Kaiser's healthcare system. I know we're done. But we're hoping that there's a sustainability aspect to it because of that. And then finally, we're working with professional pediatrician groups to maybe disseminate this more broadly. And there's other things to say about that. But basically, that's the story, and I'll be glad to answer any questions when we get to that. Thank you very much.